So I'm sure you're all wondering why I've brought you here today. If you had asked me 5 years ago, what is the Stephen Thompson fantasy? One of them would definitely have been like, they're going to come. They're going to follow me all around with a camera and talk to all of my friends and be like, why do you like Steven? Why is he so cool? Why is he such a good Packers fan? And then we're going to walk around and then we're going to make a whole little show that's all about Stephen Thompson, fan of the Packers. It's almost like Stephen Thompson, Fruit Loops eater. And then it would just be him on television eating Fruit Loops for a half an hour.
That'll always be the point.
Yeah, see?
I mean, was there a lottery?
I don't think Audie thinks you're famous enough.
No, it's not the famous enough. It's not the famous enough. It's a nation.
She doesn't think you're interesting enough.
And I'm just curious as to how they were like, this one.
My feeling is somebody told them Stephen was very, very sick.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it might have been your doctor.
Yeah, when I tell people about this, I'm going to have to reassure them about my health.
Not you look great. You look fine. You look fine.
My parents, together for years and years and years, edited a magazine called The Comics Buyer's Guide, which was a weekly and then monthly publication about the comic book industry and a lot of interviews with creators and industry people, but also with a lot of involvement from fans. And so my mother and father edited it together from the early 80s until the mid-90s when my father died, and then my mom continued to edit it for another couple decades after that. And so I was raised by two of the world's foremost experts on comic books. They turned their enthusiasm into careers. I learned that you can be almost like a professional fan. And I think in that way, I learned from a very early age what an incredibly powerful commodity enthusiasm is. And if you have it, if you are enthusiastic about what you love or who you love, like, that is a very powerful way to be and a powerful way to feel. And like, my love of music and of pop culture has led me to where I have a job writing and talking about music and pop culture, and that is incredibly cool.
Yeah, this is basically Stephen Thompson fantasy camp.
I'm a writer and talker for NPR and NPR Music. My official job description kind of splits between NPR Music, where I do a lot of writing about new music and talking about new music. And then another part of my job is I'm a panelist on Pop Culture Happy Hour, which is an NPR roundtable podcast about books and music and movies and TV shows and just pop culture writ large.
I really just enjoyed this movie enormously.
Interesting.
I think of myself almost as like a professional enthusiast. You want to have, it's nice to have the kind of job where when you tell people about it, they say, that's a job? I mean, what could be better? My parents were not sports fans at all, did not understand it. When I was 10 years old, moving to Wisconsin in the early 80s, you know, all the kids that I knew, you know, they loved the Packers, but it was kind of a little bit of a down era for that team, and my parents certainly weren't into it, so the games weren't on in my house. And so it's something I ultimately wound up kind of discovering on my own. It actually, for me, it started with the Badgers, that like magical Rose Bowl season of 93-94 was when I was a senior in college.
Bevel's got a scramble out of trouble. He's got a big opening at the 20. Bevel at the 10. Bevel's into the end zone! 5 seconds. 4. UCLA coming to the line of scrimmage with 1 second. The greatest win in Badger history. Wisconsin wins the Rose Bowl!
Once I'd gone through that 93-94 season of obsession with the Wisconsin Badgers, I decided the next fall that I was really, like, there's games on a whole other day. and you know, there was a lot of excitement about Favre. If you're just getting into football and you want to watch somebody play football in the least boring way possible, root for Brett Favre. I knew about sports. I was always adjacent to it. But it was really nice that, like, nobody in my life specifically got me into it. I sort of found it on my own, and so it felt like it was mine.
And now, for the National Football Conference champion, Green Bay Packers.
1, 2, 3, dominate!
January 26th, 1997. I do genuinely consider that one of the best days of my life. One of the 10 best days of my life. Yeah, I got a couple of kids. I'll let them be first and second. I really loved it, and at the same time, it was this really magical time in a lot of my friendships in Madison. You know, I was working at The Onion full-time at that point, and a bunch of my closest friends at The Onion were big Packer fans too. You know, I used to watch every Packer game with a couple of those guys, and when that game rolled around, we decided we were going to watch the game at my apartment, and that we would double up the game. It would be our Super Bowl party, but it would also there would be a big fried chicken eating contest, and we would call it the Chicken Bowl. This was Chicken Bowl 1, and you know, we had brought in this massive box of fried chicken from local fast food concern, and you know, we had like a leaderboard, and you would mark off how many pieces of chicken each person had eaten. So it was just this literal and figurative feast of just perfect football gluttony and silliness, you know, with all my friends.
New England just keeps bouncing back, folks. They're a resilient team. Here is a high floater.
The Patriots score a touchdown to bring the game to within six. And Desmond Howard takes the ensuing kickoff back 99 yards for the touchdown.
The 30, the 25, 20, the 10, 5, touchdown for Desmond Howard.
Somebody, bless their hearts, took a picture of the exact moment. This is not staged. This is the exact moment when Desmond Howard scored that touchdown. And you look at this skinny child flipping out to that moment and just all cheering. I mean, how many times do you have a picture of one of the happiest moments of your entire life taking place? So I still keep it by my mantle at all times.
Steven's fandom, I don't think I've ever encountered anything like it.
I'm a fan of the kind of stompy, shouty variety.
Well, you can hear him screaming throughout pretty much anywhere in the house.
A lot of cursing and a lot of punching couch cushions and stuff like that.
I usually can't even tell if it's something good or something bad. I just hear a lot of yelling.
It is impossible to come through this house and not realize that someone here is a big Packers fan.
I guess this is the closest thing to an actual shrine. You know, you got your Packers stock, some basic Wisconsin paraphernalia, a CD single copy of Jump in the Stands by Robert Brooks. Hasn't aged a day.
There's a jar of dirt, which is dried mud from the mud bowl.
Imagine how much player DNA is in this jar. The hat is from when I took my then toddler son to a pack of practice in probably 2003, 2004, and used him as a prop to collect a bunch of signatures.
I think if the pack went all the way, he would cry. He might propose to the Packers.
This year, I feel like, is the crown jewel.
That super duper old jar of peanut butter that's older than I am.
Perfectly preserved jar of Gilbert Brown peanut butter.
It's more a sign of dad being a hoarder than anything.
The Gilbert Brown peanut butter, I feel like, marks me as a true fan.
What we want to talk about is what your perception is of Steven as a Packer fan. Now, Packers fan, right? My name is Linda Holmes, and I'm a pop culture correspondent at NPR. Our podcast is called Pop Culture Happy Hour, and we conceived it in Steven's living room here in D.C. after we had both moved here. We were having a beer and said we should make a show that's just us talking to our friends about TV and movies and stuff that we're interested in, and maybe other people would want to listen to it.
In 5 minutes, we came up with the title of the show, the concept of the show, the cast of the show, the staff of the show, like how we were going to do it. We just booked a studio one day and just recorded this conversation. We didn't even call it a podcast. We called it an audio experiment. But we liked it. You know, we thought we were just going to pilot it. We weren't going to actually use the pilot, but then we liked it so much, and we just started doing it. And we were like, we're going to do this until NPR tells us to stop.
We spent a lot of time having these conversations anyway about things like Survivor and American Idol and sports and things like that. And I think we thought maybe if we could bring other people into those conversations that they would find them fun.
The third episode came out, and we got an email from NPR's vice president for news. We saw the email come in, you know, subject line, pop culture happy hour, from Ellen Weiss at NPR, and we were like, oh, no. And it was notes on the show. It was mostly really positive, but like, you do this, I think this goes on too long, I think the show feels like it could be there, remember, not all of us know everything you're talking about. Just like giving really, all this really constructive advice. And we kind of looked at each other like, I guess we're doing the show now. Now it's an official NPR show. NPR sends us out on tour. We played out like sold out 700 seat theaters and stuff. It's been incredibly gratifying and fun. And NPR has been an amazing place to experiment with that stuff.
Right, that's right. Whenever you're ready.
All right.
I have relatives who lived in Green Bay until very recently. So I grew up with a knowledge of the Packers and knowing just how important they are to Wisconsin and how big that fandom is. When I met Steven, I knew who he was before I ever worked with him, and I knew he was from Wisconsin. You know, I pretty soon found out he was a huge Packers fan.
Huh?
So we tape the podcast on Mondays, and since, you know, football games are on Sunday, it's always interesting to kind of see how he reacts coming in. There are times of the year when we have to be careful about how much homework he has to do for the show over the weekend. I remember one time, he's very into the NFL draft. I think we decided to pass on doing a certain TV show because he couldn't watch 8 hours of a new Netflix series because he needed to watch the NFL draft that weekend.
4th and 26.
Ooh.
Tell me about the moment, 4th and 26.
4th and 26.
Now trying to stop a 4th and 26 and in essence take over. Plenty of time. Down the middle, it's Mitchell. They're going to get forward progress and a first down.
You know, I actually did a podcast about this for NPR where I sat down with a treacherous Philadelphia Eagles fan named Gene Demby.
It was funny because we were talking about that. We were just talking about that play at Linda Holmes' desk, and she just like sort of watched us have this long, like detailed conversation about both the play and the sort of subsequent trajectories of all the players involved in the play. And she was like, "You guys are just going to move."
This is an impossible play, basically.
Right.
He drops back and he hits Freddie Mitchell, who jumps in the air and catches the ball, and he's hit immediately.
First down to the Green Bay 46-yard line.
I drop to my knees and mash my forehead into the carpet, beat my fists against the carpet, pound, 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 like a 3-year-old having a tantrum at the grocery store, and just shriek until I could see stars. I am nothing if not a glutton for punishment. I sometimes like to make my anguish the stuff of art. I feel like a lot of sports fans relate to their teams the way they relate to their favorite TV shows or movies or bands or stuff like that. And I feel like sports is a big part of pop culture.
One of the most memorable, I think, Packers moments in our show was we saw the movie. We talked about the movie Pitch Perfect 2.
If you know Steven, it won't be terribly surprising, but there is a cameo that speaks very specifically to him.
The Green Bay Packers!
What? I don't think you're ready for this, because my body's too bootylicious.
I clapped in the movie theater. I never do that. I always hate it when people clap at movies, but I clapped in the movie theater.
We structured the show a certain way so that he would have this moment where he'd be able to talk about his Packers fandom and how excited he was to see them in this movie that's about a female a cappella singing group.
One thing that I like to think about my Packer fandom is I am trying to get others to join me. And this is what I talk about all the time, about enthusiasm being this incredible commodity, that if you are enthusiastic enough, you just wear people down.
Well, and then here's the thing.
I lived for a while outside the Twin Cities. So I watched the Vikings when I lived in the Twin Cities. But again, the NFL was not really my thing that much. I realized that because of the way Steven feels about the Packers, being Steven's best friend and not liking the Packers is just a pain. It's so inconvenient because it means you're opposing him in this way that seems to go to his very soul.
And she's like, you know what? It's just so much less effort for me to just be happy when you're happy and root for the Packers.
And so I switched allegiances like a terrible person. But by then again, I wasn't living in Minnesota anymore. I felt like the stakes were lower. I get that to many people, that's an unimaginable thing, but those are people who have not watched the Packers at Steven's house.
What will be making me happy for several weeks running is that I'm actually in August going to Green Bay, visiting the Green Bay Packers facility.
Oh my, what?
I will be attending the public gets to go and watch the practice, watch some of the practices, and lots of people in Green Bay attend.
Pro tip, don't shout at them. It's just practice.
The players will be kept a safe distance from me at all times.
Here we go.
I'm traveling high. Hi, I'm Stephen Thompson, and I cannot believe I am at Lambeau Field. This is sort of my personal fantasy camp. They have already asked me not to climb this gigantic Lombardi trophy, but I am going to get to take a tour.
Welcome to historic Lambeau Field, home of the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers. Give me a hand for that.
It just smells different. You walk in and it smells like football. I'm traveling high. I'm traveling high. I'm living on the road that I'm flying so high. And I feel alright with you by my side. And I feel so fine. Such a good day for a ride. Hi.
Vince Lombardi's desk, how may I help you? Jonah, do you want some Packers swimming trunks? This just looks like he's smoking. The kids are sprinting to keep up. Gotta fix my hair. Vince Lombardi. I mean, the trophy's named after it. We really should just win it every year.
From this angle, you can see right up his nose.
Well, that's important, too.
Is also a great Packer number.
What?
There's no going back. This is our home now.
Get up, jump, jump. Go, go!
Green Bay is the best. It wasn't until my 30s that I wound up kind of reluctantly selling my house in Madison and moving out to D.C. And you know, I was afraid, like, the people aren't going to be like they are in Wisconsin. I'm not going to find my people. It's not going to feel like home. One of the things that I really wanted to put forward was, I am a Midwesterner. I am a Wisconsinite. I am a Packer fan. And so I first came to relate to a lot of people out here through conversations about sports, and you know, I'm a Packer fan, I'm a Badger fan, I'm a Wisconsin guy. I moved out here in May, and by the time Chicken Bowl rolled around in January, February, you know, I'd found a huge throng of NPR people who were all about coming to my house and eating fried chicken and watching football, and so that tradition has lived on. When Super Bowl 45 happened, it was the first Chicken Bowl after I got divorced. And like I said, 2010 was a rough year. And so it was my first year hosting the Chicken Bowl alone. And so I was really reliant on the moral support of all my friends. You know, I think most of the people who were at Chicken Bowl 15, Super Bowl 45, we're just hoping the Packers would win so they wouldn't have to watch me watch them lose.
Off the hands of the antenna receiver Wallace, and there is your Super Bowl dagger! The Green Bay Packers are world champions of football!
It had been 14 years since the Packers won the Super Bowl. And so seeing that team had gone through all this adversity and come out, it just fed a sense of joy and optimism. There's a picture of me where I'm kind of like, I'm like this, and I've just got this look on my face of just complete uncontainable joy, and it comes out as tears. And so all my friends are gathered around, and it feels like, you know, they've been a support network not only during this game, but they're a support network in my life, and I love them, and I'm just crying. And you know, I didn't win the Super Bowl. You know, the bunch of seemingly nice guys I've never met before, they won. I was giddy for the rest of the day, and like, you know, by that point, you know, like I'm getting all these messages on Twitter, you know, from people who listen to the show who don't even necessarily know me, but like, You'd hear from people where it's, if they, you know, they listen to the show every week and they don't necessarily have a sports allegiance, they just decided to root for the Packers because I was rooting for the Packers, which is such a great feeling. You just have this sense of community and bond with people you've never met before. The fact that the Packers are community owned is a symbol of that community ownership. And I always say to people who are like, I'm thinking about getting into football, I don't have a team, I use that, I talk about my share of Green Bay Packers stock as an example of what's great about that team.